Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Hi, my lovely friends. Happy Easter, and welcome back to another episode here at Latte and Laundry. And I am Suzanne, your friend, your sister in Christ, your host, and I am cannot tell you guys how happy I am to be back on this thing. This is the longest I've ever taken a break from recording episodes. I take that back. When I had my sixth born, I did take like 2 or 3 months off from recording, but I had a bunch of episodes kind of pre-recorded. So this is the longest it's gone since I've recorded and not put out an episode. It's been, it's been like close to 6 weeks, most of Lent. I think I stopped recording a few days before Lent kicked off. And I'm just so happy to be back with you guys. I'll be really honest, it was a really lovely break for me. I was really leaning into that episode, one of the last episodes I put out, which was Be More, Do Less. And I was really leaning into that idea of doing less and just being with our Lord more, which gave me the capacity to be more with my spouse and be more with my children and just be present more with the people that I love. Also, I have been working on a project. I am so excited to be able to share with you guys, and I don't know exactly when that will be, but let's just say for all of my mama heart friends out there, I cannot wait to share the gift that I think this project is going to be and the blessing that I'm praying it'll be for mom hearts, including my own. So I've been kind of busy with that, which is why God was just leaning me into this idea of just trying to take a pause and do less and just be with him more. But I'll be really honest, I was going through a lot of ups and downs and just feeling very Lenty, if you will. Like Lent felt very Lentish for me this year. And the Lord was continuing to just make way in my heart in a lot of ways. And during that time, I just was feeling I was feeling for the first time in a long time, a real sense of desolation, an absence of God, just like this real dark cloud over my heart, over my head. And just as I was like really seeking the Lord and wanting to know he was there and just questioning a lot of the steps I'd been taking and a lot of different things, I received this just most beautiful email that had gotten lost in my junk mail from a listener. And I had been looking in my junk mail for something else, for registration for this retreat my daughter and I are going on soon, and I cannot wait to share that with you guys after we go to it. But I was looking for something to do with that in my junk mail, and I stumbled upon an email from a listener, and it blessed me beyond measure. It was one of those things, you guys ever get those God winks where you know God is speaking to you right then and there through another person. And this email blessed me so much, just reminding me of how my little, frail, imperfect, and messy human soul is able, when open and docile to the movements of the Holy Spirit, to just bless women and walk alongside them and encourage them on their journey with God, with just this desire to grow in greater communion with him, and how much just that alone will impact their motherhood. And if you guys haven't learned yet, you will continue to learn how fiery I can get for the vocation of motherhood. And I have said this a number of times lately, and I will repeat it again here. This does not mean that I do motherhood perfectly. In fact, I do motherhood really imperfectly, really messy. I fall on my knees and need God's mercy and grace and my children's forgiveness time and time again. But he continues to keep turning my heart steadfast on his calling of who I am as mama in the lives of my children. And I can get really passionate and really fired up about it. But that's actually not what I want to talk to you guys about today. Today, I want to talk to you guys about Easter. Dun, dun, dun. So before I kind of dive in, I want to open us up with our Bible verse this week, which is Matthew 28:6. And it says, he is not here. he has risen, just as he said. And this is when the angel is talking to the women when they're searching for Jesus, right? When they find the lost tomb, the empty tomb. And they say, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said. And I am just really looking forward to a new season. After Lent, that felt super Lenty, I'm really delighted to dive into the Easter season, right? And as I was praying about it, reflecting about it, you guys, many of my longtime listeners know, I love to look up the meaning and etymology of words. And so I was looking at the word Easter, which is an English word which parallels the German word Ostern, which is kind of uncertain of its original origin. One of the ancient views believed that it derived from Oster, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, Ostre, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility. But this doesn't really make a lot of sense because it's been widely refuted because of how opposed paganism Christians have always been. So it would not make sense that the time that we're celebrating the risen Christ, God himself, that we would be naming it after a Anglo-Saxon goddess. So that was one belief, but now there's widespread consensus that the actual origin of the word comes from in albis, a Latin phrase that has understood as the plural of alba, which means dawn, and which became Osterum in Old High German, which was the precursor of the current German and English term for Easter. And I just love this idea that the original meaning and origin of the word Easter is dawn, right? And what is dawn? We all know this. It is the beginning of a phenomenon or period of time, especially one considered favorable. A new dawn. I like to treat Easter in an even more profound and big way as the rest of the world, the secular world, often treats the January 1st, New Year's Day. It's the beginning of a new year. The dawn of Easter is the beginning of a new year. I think this is an invitation for all of us who probably and hopefully we might have struggled and squirmed our way through the sacrifices and the penances that we had offered to Christ during the season of Lent. But now it's a time to be reborn, restored, renewed in this season of dawn, new beginnings, right? And I just love this because the truth is we are made new with Christ's death and resurrection each and every day. We do not even have to wait for this Easter season to believe this and to live this. Something that I've talked about many times over on this podcast probably, and I talk about with my children all the time. It is never too late to be made new. And the enemy knows how to be so sneaky to get his dirty little grips on our heart so that when we sin or we make mistakes or we fall, that we feel incapable of getting back up. In fact, we often feel too unworthy of getting back up, whether that's in our motherhood. We've had a week of just yelling, name calling. Maybe we mumble things under our breath we wish our children didn't hear. Maybe we slammed a door out of frustration and anger. Maybe we just wept in a corner and we couldn't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep pursuing the ideals of beauty, goodness, and truth. God sees us and he knows us and he loves us and he adores us and he calls us to come to him at the foot of the cross on Good Friday with him and lay down our lives knowing that it is never too late to be reborn, restored, and resurrected from the place that we are currently living out of. And that can be really hard to believe. And I think that's one of the graces that God has given me is that I can fall quite a bit, you guys. I am wildly imperfect in my motherhood. I am so imperfect in my wifehood. Similarly, in my sisterhood, in my friendships, in my daughterhood. And yet God's mercy has always been something that's been evidently clear to me. I know how adored and beloved I am. And it is my great desire that all of us know how loved we are by Christ. So much so that when we fall and we make mistakes with a childlike heart, we come running back to him and we get up again and we continue down the road of beauty and goodness. there's that great quote, right, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where St. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Guys, if anyone is in Christ, with that little, even just the little whisper from your soul, if it feels too hard to pray right now, if it feels too hard to pour out into love in the ways that you deeply desire, but you're just struggling, just the small little heart whisper of Jesus is enough to crush the old and allow his love to come through and pour out new once again. So my kids and I are doing an in-depth read study of St. Francis of Assisi right now. And we've been a little slow this year, I'll be honest. One of my favorite things to do in homeschooling is read alouds. I love having like tea time. And one of the things I do is I make one of my children will only eat my sourdough bread as his bread source. The rest of my kids, half my kids like love it. Half my kids could care less. But one of my children, that's all he'll eat. So it keeps me, it's actually a great thing because it keeps me on the pace of trying to make sure there's a loaf of bread, a homemade sourdough loaf of bread going. I make like a new one every day or two. And one of the things my children love, they'll all love to eat this on the sourdough bread. It's just a nice toasted, thinly sliced toasted sourdough bread with some nice fresh, real butter sprinkled with cinnamon and sugar. And we'll have that with a cup of tea. And what I delight in doing with my read alouds is I typically go from one saint chapter book, right? One, something that is deeply like calling our hearts in faith. And then a little bit more lighthearted or silly, always still pointing towards goodness and beauty, but not necessarily explicitly of the faith. But right now we are reading a chapter book on St. Francis of Assisi, St. Francis and St. Clair of Assisi. We haven't even gotten to the St. Clair part of the book yet, and we're like 3/4 of the way through. So I'm like delighted. She's just starting to enter the picture. So I'm delighted to see how the story is going to unfold beyond what I already know about the two saints. But one of the things that I love about doing deep or big chapter books like this is it allows me, my children, to really dive deeply into one saint at a time. I'll be honest, you guys, I cannot keep up with all the saints in the Catholic Church. I wish I could. I love when I meet other women or men and encounter them who know so many of the church saints and know their stories and the intimate details of their lives. And my memory is just not that good. I used to do this thing with my kids where I called it, when I first started homeschooling, like the first year, and I called it Sipping with the Saints. And every afternoon, I would make tea and a snack, and we would read about the saint of the day. That was really amazing until we would confuse all the saints all the time. Because I'm not very good at it, I could not redirect my children to who the right saints were with the right details or whatnot. And so I found it really fun and probably better suited for our family to dive more deeply into one saint at a time. And so right now, learning about St. Francis of Assisi, I'm loving it. And I'm becoming head over heels more in love with this saint than I already was. And he just has, like, his story is just completely beautiful and wild. And we know that. But when you read it in more detail, you're just like, whew. And he has this great saying where he says, "All I want to know is Christ and the power flowing from his resurrection." And it really got me praying and thinking about the fact of, are we like St. Francis? Is the greatest desire of our hearts to be but to know Christ and the overwhelming power and goodness that comes from his resurrection? Is it? Right? Like, I love the opening Bible verse that we talked about where the angel is telling the women just to not be afraid, right? He isn't here. He rose. And I love how it ends, just as he said. Like, that stopped me in my tracks when I was reading that Bible verse. Do we believe all that Jesus has told us, just as he has said? Just like the angel said here, it's almost like this cute wink at the women. He's not here, girls. Like, he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Do you remember? Right? Do we believe all that he has told us? This idea of, for example, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we are beaten down by the world, do we remember that Jesus Christ is our life? Do we remember that living a life like him is the way? right? Or when he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you as well. I can't tell you how many times when I've actually, and it's not often, my friends. So before I mislead you, but all the times that I have actually been able to fully seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, right? When I'm able to shred all the temptations of the world, my fleshy desires, whether it's food, material, just like selfish me, alone time, never wanting to, to have little people climbing on me. When I am seeking all these things, not that those in and of themselves are bad, but when I idolize these things and make them God in my heart, typically things around me start to crumble. And I don't mean these big, massive ways, but in tiny ways. And that's because my heart is not steadfast on truth. My heart is turned disordered towards worldly things. But when my heart is actually able to surrender to this idea of seeking first the kingdom of God, when Jesus not only is my everything that I believe in my heart, but followed through with the one things I desire is him and him alone, I can't tell you how many all these other worldly or earthly desires start to fall into place in my life. And it just is this idea that, do we believe what he tells us? But seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you as well. Or how about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Do we believe that? Do we believe when we are utterly under the weight of the world and we feel like we are suffocating and drowning? Do we believe that Jesus is still alive, laying down his life for us? And do we believe with God all things are possible? It's something my kids talk about all the time, that idea of the faith of a mustard seed. If we believe it fully, not with a spirit of a forceful belief, like, okay, I'm gonna believe it, but in the depths of our soul, when we fully believe things, anything is possible with God. There is nothing that is too big for God. There is no detail too small for God. With God, all things are possible. Do we believe it? And do we remember, like the angel said, just as he said, do we believe all that Christ told us? And I just love some of these Easter quotes that I stumbled upon as I was like praying through just the beauty and the goodness of Easter. And there's this one by St. John the 23rd in 1959 who says, Easter is for everyone a mystery of death and life. For this reason, according to the express precept of the church, which we paternally remind you, every faithful is invited at this time to purify their conscience with the sacrament of penance, immersing it in the blood of Jesus. And he is called to approach the Eucharistic banquet with greater faith, to feed on the life-giving flesh of the Immaculate Lamb. The mystery is therefore of death and resurrection for each believer. Right? Like, this is God did this for each one of us. It's that idea, right? And I probably sound like a broken record, but it's that idea, right? That Christ would walk those steps of Calvary over and over again, if only just for you. And my friends, our children need to know that. Our children need to know that when often this world can make us feel very, even as busy and as wild and as easily it is to contact every human across the world with social media and the news and everything alike, it's a very often isolated and lonely world right now. And it's so important when we can feel rejected, unwanted, abandoned, to know that Christ would do it all over again, if only just for you. And I love that sentiment. That's what often drops me to my knees, is just his individual, intimate love for each and every one of us. God is not some grand God far away in the clouds, looking down on all his people in this like measly little snow globe, looking down at, I always say to my kids, he's not looking down at all the people. No, like he is with us right now, alive in us, desiring that we come closer to him, especially in this glorious Easter season. And St. John Paul II in 1996 has this great quote where he says, Christ's resurrection is the strength, the secret of Christianity. It is not a question of mythology or of mere symbolism, but of a concrete event, you guys. This is a historical event. He goes on to say, it is confirmed by sure and convincing proofs. The acceptance of this truth, although the fruit of the Holy Spirit's grace, rests at the same time on a solid historical base. On the threshold of the third millennium, the new effort of evangelization can begin only from a renewed experience of this mystery, accepted in faith and witnessed to in life. Whew. Like, I think sometimes we're so far removed, 2,000 plus years removed from this magnificent, glorious, profound, exquisite event of the resurrection, that it can just feel like this tale, like we read to our children at night when we snuggle up with them in bed. Fairy tales or stories. This, my friends, is not a story. This was a real life event done, blood shed for you and I, right? The enemy, through the hearts of the prideful, the selfish, the turned away, thought they were conquering the world when they nailed him to a cross. But my friends, you can turn him in. You can scourge him on a pillar. You can strip him naked, crown him with thorns, and nail him to a cross and suffocate him to death as he hangs. But love has conquered the world with two arms wide open, and his name is Jesus Christ. Okay, you guys, Easter is this glorious time. I just pray and invite you guys all to really delight in this Easter season. Don't let the world tell you Easter is over because Sunday has come and passed. No, like, delight and enter into this nice, long liturgical season where we get to just celebrate the goodness of Christ's resurrection and the glory of all that he has come to do to draw us back into his waiting arms. It's so good to be back with you guys. Okay, I just spoke really loud. It's probably hurt your ears, but I'm just so happy to be here. It was definitely something from my heart that I've been missing, is connecting and doing this with all of you guys. And it's just always such a blessing for my own heart to just pray and reflect on all these things. And I just look forward to more episodes to come, more time with you guys. If you guys have any thoughts, any questions, please, as always, I love it if you reach out. I'm so sorry if my emails... somehow the emails are getting sent to junk mail. So if I don't respond, please follow up. I never feel bad if people follow up. I always actually love it because I hate and am really disappointed if I don't respond to somebody about any questions or thoughts or just wanting to connect. So you guys can reach me at Suzanne@latteandlaundry.com. And as of right now, I'm still not on social media, at least not from a Latte and Laundry perspective. And I'm not on Instagram at all. I have a Facebook account, but I don't know if I've been on it at all in the last like 6 months. So that's not a place you can typically find me, but email is an easy way to connect. And I so do love connecting. And if this episode, or really if this podcast has blessed you guys at all, I would be ever so grateful if you wouldn't mind leaving an Apple review or just shooting me an email and letting me know in which ways this podcast has blessed you or done things for you in your heart. But when you do leave a review or you share episodes or the podcast with a friend, it just helps share this mission that I have of drawing more hearts towards a greater communion with our Lord, specifically and especially the mama hearts that you guys know I have a really soft place in my heart for. So I just love journeying alongside you guys. I love walking along women as we all try to become who God is calling us to be and to allow ourselves to be loved in the great delight that God loves us. So let me pray for us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I just thank you for the gift of this space that you've allowed me to share in this time with these beautiful women. I praise you and I thank you for the gift of your Son, whom you gave us to open the doors to spending eternity with you once again. He came and shed his life and went through one of the most immeasurable experiences, most painful and torturous, as he laid down his life on the cross for all of us. I praise you and thank you for the glory of the resurrection, so that we may delight ourselves knowing that you desire to create and deliver and resurrect all the broken and dead places of our own hearts in you. I pray that we may, during this Easter season, we may know what a delight each and every one of us is in your heart. And not in this grand big way, but individually for who we are, your beloved. I pray that the love that will abound within our own hearts will overflow and pour out onto our spouses, on our children, on our friends, and everyone that we come in contact with, so that we become alive in and with Christ's love and can be just one small conduit of sharing that with other people. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, my lovely friends. I feel like I could talk forever, but I won't just bore you with all the things in my life right now. But I cannot wait to catch up with all of you guys more next week. And I hope you have a blessed beginning to your wonderful and beautiful Easter. And remember one of my all-time favorite quotes from St. John Paul II that says, "We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." God bless, friends.